I didn't know. My dad didn't know the glory of my role. And each, just think of it, each wife has been given a personal pastor. Each kid, a personal shepherd to contend from the wolves of this age. And we don't have to strive to be this big name or do this big great work over there when the great work is right here. So dads just need to know. And it doesn't take much. And I still was failing to see the pinnacle of success is my home and these eternal souls that have been entrusted to me.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Welcome back, guys, to part two of our interview with Ben Myers. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host, and I'll be joined, as usual, by my co-host, Chris Bollinger. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to take too much time here to waste. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into this interview because, man, it is good. If you liked our first half with Ben Myers, you're going to really, really appreciate the second half. He will, once again, get you fired up. Like he did me, that's for sure. So just a quick reminder, my new book, Manhood Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, available on Amazon.com for pre-order now. And we are a listener-supported podcast, so any support you choose to give to help support our mission to disciple men all over the world will be much appreciated. You can go to our homepage at clchq.org to find out how to do that, how to give. And if you have any questions about CLC or Empowered Manhood, just go ahead and email me at mhatch@clchq.org. I'd love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. So here we go, guys. Here is part two of our interview with Ben Myers.
This is your quest. This is your job. And it all boils down to one thing. Like, I'm not the male coach of physical and finances and all these. I'm not trying to do that because I know what happens if you get the word of God into a man's heart and then you tell him you're the leader, you're responsible. Blessings if you do, curses if you do not, in this life and in the age to come. And let's begin to contend for our families in this way. And so whatever we have to shut off and pull back, as painful as it might be, it's the surgery that needs to happen so that the cancer does not creep in and kill us. So that, yeah. I'm just a bit passionate That's about great. It.
Because we really? I couldn't tell.
We can't do business as usual. We just can't.
Yeah,
the hour right. is urgent. The day is late. It is time. Man. And that's why Jezebel is raging right now to shut the mouth of the father, to keep him in his feeling like he'll never overcome his sins, that he's not good enough, that how you think you're going to lead your family and disciple him. It's so easy. But men need to see that it's so easy to step into this position. 15 minutes a day will change the trajectory of your family's eternal life. It's important.
Amen.
As you were talking, I was thinking about not just teenage kids and, you know, how they might react, but also your wife. I mean, you know, your wife has had even a longer time with you than your teenage kids, right? And so this is a way of engaging with your wife who, you know, you haven't been the leader at home. And, you know, and you don't feel very good about that. I mean, you're right. waking up to the fact that you could have done a lot more and a lot of years have passed.
Yeah.
But I would venture to guess that most wives, when you take this step, would be really excited because, you know, and they know that you're uncomfortable with this, right? I mean, you know, maybe you're not
that's
a drama what,
That's
guy.
One of the reasons why they're excited because you're right. demonstrating a certain level of vulnerability and they're like, oh
exactly.
my gosh, where'd this guy
and,
come
and
from?
You, yeah. And you can ask for forgiveness from... you know, your wife, but also from your older kids. And I would guess, and I know, Ben, you don't have any direct experience with this. I do because my kids are adults now. So, I've I wasn't there for them at times when they were growing up. And I would think that if you asked your older kids to come along with you and maybe gave them a special role, like, you know, maybe a not assistant director, but, you know, you gave them something to do to help the production and to help the initiative grow and do well, I think that they would respond well to that versus just, hey, come along, you know, come along and do this, you know, make them feel special that they've got a special role to play to help you succeed in this initiative.
Amen. Amen. Especially your wife. Like, I could not do this without my wife being on board with the vision.
Right.
And so we're probably, as we get this fleshed out with Director Dad, we're probably going to do something like Stage Director Mom. Really how how the help and support, like, it's just critical. Mm. It's absolutely critical. You know, a lot of fathers are, you know, doing this by themselves as well, where mom's not in the picture. The marriage has been, you know, cut off, but fathers are now beginning to have Zoom calls with their kids. And, mm-hmm. and that's super, super important. But we do really coach, you know, we want to get back to that biblical model of having older women begin to disciple the younger women in this, to teach them how to support and undergird the work that their husband is bringing forward. And you're right, like getting them involved and saying, sweetie, I am so sorry. And true repentance, like, and forgiveness, goes so far. And that's why we start off with, like, our media that we produce of my family doing it. We always start with, you know, a disaster, chaos, in the home, kids running around, like, family meeting, everybody, and nobody's wanting to come. And my wife is like, your husband, you know, daddy says this is important, so let's go ahead and do it. Get on the couch, everybody.
That's
and
great.
You see the transformation by, like, the third day into the 21 days, where the kids are like, hey, it wasn't that bad. I actually like this, and I'm actually excited about it today. And my wife is like, you see her angst of having to carry the full load of the home now beginning to, like, melt off of her as she's beginning to tenderize towards his leadership and really getting on board of that vision, so that we're painting that picture, because that's what happened in my life, in my family's, our journey, but also we see it happen in others. This lady most recently, a couple of weeks ago, her husband went through the Director Dad. He happens to be a pastor of a huge congregation in Philadelphia. And she, you know, when I first met him, he was like, you know what? The Lord's really doing something here, because my wife has been saying for so long that she really wants me to get more intentional in leading my family and having Bible devotion. She's always like, I'm leading everybody else, but I'm not leading my own family. And so he went through the Director Dad program, got radically shifted in his trajectory of ministry even. And now he's preaching, like, all he's preaching on is equipping fathers to lead in the home. And he was a part of the 21 days. And then his family was a part of doing a reenactment of those 21 scenes. We offer that here at the theater at the end, where families can do it, multiple families together, and then each invite another dad in their families to see it, to then for their families to go through the 21 days. So she gave her testimony at the end. She's like, you know, when he met Ben, it was just a miracle that happened in our life. He now spends time with us. And she's saying this in tears. Like, he spends time with us, leading us in the Bible each day. This is my aunt. Every heart desire that I had is being met and fulfilled, like, now as he is stepping into this position. And this is changing a whole congregation that touches many other congregations as well. And it's like, women have been carrying this load for too long. Yeah. Even as we, you know, as a culture are having to switch into homeschooling, so many moms are carrying so much with homeschooling the way it is. I'm like, Dad, get in there, teach the Bible, use this means to teach. And you have now taken such weight off of her. She can just focus in more on the different topics and things like that, without having to feel so pressured to bring in the scriptures into everything, because you've done that well. You've done what God has told you your responsibility is. So yeah, we're really seeing a great, but you're right. Get her on board, repentance, and get her on board and really show how much you need her. That's why God created Eve, is because he's like, oh, this poor sucker, he's going to need help. He needs help, and created Eve.
Yeah, right.
And now everything Definitely. That she touches, she makes it better. And that's a testimony of my wife in our home. She makes everything better, like, because Amen. That's the glory of the woman. to make everything better. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so there's several things you're saying that is just getting me so excited, just because I'm getting to know you through this interview as well. And what I love, what I'm hearing from you is number one, this is missing today, a firm grasp of the doctrine of atonement and an understanding of our sinful, fallen, broken nature. Mm. It just seems more and more that even creeping into the church is this idea that sin might be a harsh word. It's more like you made a mistake and you just need help, right? Mm. But man, did I hear you very compellingly communicate what the contrast of the darkness of your soul compared to the light of God and his gospel coming in. What you talk about in terms of the overarching story, okay? I love that you say that because for me, one of the most transformative things in my life when it came to the God's word was seeing that overarching narrative, the big themes, understanding those, and then some of the minutiae in scripture begins to take on deeper, more meaning once you're connecting those dots. Mm. Your trip to Israel. So I've been to Israel twice, and I think what you guys did there in terms of it just brings the Bible to life. It shows how solidly grounded scripture is in real world history, you know? And then lastly, you have an incredible grasp, it sounds like, of the signs of the times right now. Mm. Which is clearly motivating you, that you and your wife, Felicita, I love that name, that you guys are here for such a time as this. And I hope that as dads and fathers hear this or listening to this episode, that they would be motivated and have that sense of urgency as well.
Praise God. Me too.
Just to piggyback on what Mike was saying, I was involved in youth work for, I don't know, about 15 years, mostly high school kids. And Mike, you've been involved in Young Life for, what was it, about 9 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. Great work, right? I mean, we love youth ministry. We love Young Life. But, I mean, Ben, you said it. You know, you pour into these kids, but they're not being poured into at home, a lot of them. And they go to college and, well, that was a high school thing. You know, my faith was when I was younger. And then they walk away or they drift away in more cases because they don't have that foundation that was laid at home. And I always felt kind of guilty doing youth work because I felt like we should be doing more with the parents. You know, we were doing good stuff with the kids and they were getting a lot out of it, but we weren't equipping the parents. We weren't transferring that. We weren't really even talking to the parents in a lot of cases. So I just love your ministry because you're taking a lot of the good things that are done outside the home and you're bringing them into the home and you're making the dad the director of what's going on.
I didn't know. My dad didn't know the glory of my role. And just think of it. Each wife has been given a personal pastor, each kid, a personal shepherd to contend from the wolves of this age. And we don't have to strive to be this big name or do this big, great work over there when the great work is right here.
Oh, preach it. Preach it, Ben.
And so dads just need to know. And it doesn't take much. And I was really shifted even after my journey of what I told you about a few years, even after that, I was still focusing more on the mission of the inner city movement ministry of, you know, Actors Bible and doing the task of it all. And I still was failing to see the pinnacle of success is my home and these eternal souls that have been entrusted to me. And it wasn't until the Lord, he speaks to me by hitting my head. So I hit my head all the time. And my wife's always looking at me like, oh, what's he saying? But he has to, like, because I'm thick-skulled, I guess. And so he really has to get me. And it really was a point where my wife and I went through some challenges in our marriage that we had to repent from our parents' sins, our sins, mm-hmm. and really see that there was a diabolical agenda of Jezebel through both our family lineages that tried to keep us shut, our mouths and us in sin. And the biggest thing we never did together is we never prayed together. Mm-hmm. The enemy just wanted to keep us away from praying together. And so that was the first thing we repented of, began to walk in this. And as we really begin to see that the spirit of Elijah that's promised before the great and terrible day of the Lord's return, he will send a turning of the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers before his second coming, as it was in his first with John the Baptist, calling out the dads into the wilderness. If the dads repent, their whole households will as well. And that's what prepares the people prepared for the return of the Messiah. And so I was about to get all these other dads in order. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get their house in order. But God was like, sit down, I'm gonna get your house in order. And even though after I was born again, but then there was still this prioritizing of the ministry and getting my identity there versus the quest in the home of spiritually discipling my family and washing my wife with the word and doing all that. And he had to really break us down, both my wife and I. He's like, oh, okay, you want to get other people's houses, or okay, I'm going to get your house in order. Hidden sin, still even past that. At that point for me, it was shame from sin that I had done priorly, that I really had to like get out and confess things that I had done previously because I didn't have that father who was contending for me in this way. And there was, you know, my mother and I was closer, like more of a husband and a wife type of thing. And that was that spirit of Jezebel trying to really separate me and my father. But then as that was broken, and now my father and I have this incredible relationship, but it was through hardship that that thing was really brought out. And as I was seeing that as I'm contending now for my family, it's like, let's get every man. This is the mission, the quest is, and it was really through a book. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You know, 3 years after that initial time, it's called The Expeditionary Man. And this guy was was a top guy in Silicon Valley. Like he was really getting his, that longing of adventure and quest and being the best out there. He was getting that from the tech industry. And he was also a mountain climber. So he would go to like some of the toughest climbs globally. And yet he felt like he was failing at home, and he was failing at the church leadership that he was supposed to be. And so he had his home, his tech, you know, his career, and then church life. And he felt like, I can't do all these well. Like, you know, I'm trying to juggle them all. I'm going to drop some of these plates. And as the Lord really shifted him to understand that mountaintop experience, that, you know, best of the industry challenge and all of that, it's really that feeling that he was longing for that. If he shifted his gaze into that as the family, and so he quit his job. And he began to help homeschool his family. And at first he did it begrudgingly because this is what he felt like he should do as a Christian man. But as soon as he changed his views on, no, this is the greatest thing, this is what the Lord has desired me to do, that's when it radically shifted. And I watched his funeral and his boys, like the love and commitment to the Lord and to his father and integrity and character, like, well done. And so the Lord used this book at that time to really, and I give this out wherever I go to men, just like, your family is the quest. This is what we're contending for. This is what shifts generations.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. So many things. I wrote down so many. So there is interesting. We actually, you're talking about that spirit of Jezebel covering men's mouths. It's so funny you say that because, well, number one, we had interviewed a guy who I'd love to connect you with, J.S. Shelton, Jeremy Shelton. He wrote the book called Unmuzzled, and it's about men escaping the addiction of pornography and how he did that. And he's really just exhorting men to do that. But that image of like the muzzle on the man, do you know what I mean? And then I'm working on a book right now having to do with men going from being disempowered to empowered by, you know, the light of the gospel and the spirit. There just seems to be this common thread or theme throughout different ministries and men out there who are trying to yeah, exhort men to contend for their families, like you said. So well said. So let me ask you this question, because something hit me. Number one, I have one child, okay? So there are three in my wife, myself, and our 13-year-old son right now. When he was younger, it probably would have been easier to start something out. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You might actually say no to that. I don't know. Be interested in your perspective.
No, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. However, I'm also thinking that, and this is another, I think, work, honestly, of Satan, that more and more families are having less and less children. So it's going from like, it went from like three children to like 2.5. Now maybe, I don't know if it's around 1.5, but most people I know are having no more than two kids now. And so for a second, speak to me as a dad of one child. And one of the ideas that popped in my head was along the lines of what you said. So we also, Lisa's brother just remarried another woman and a beautiful Christian woman. And she brought two kids into their family. They've got four kids now. And you talked about the idea of combining potentially families to do this together. And I thought, man, it might be easier actually for us to come together and work on this together potentially. So I assume you've seen families do that. And yeah, have you seen the three-person family work out well? I'm curious about your perspective on
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You just get to play more parts is the only thing. And the software allows you to play it. Yeah, the software allows you to play as many as you want. I do an audio drama for each scene, so I often play upwards of 10 parts for each scene. So it's okay. Not beyond the scope of just throwing your voice a little or, you know, doing something a little bit different to play the different parts. And that's just as fun. Look, all this is the whole Bible as a script. You cast parts beforehand. The software keeps track of it. You get points and you title up from a player to a disciple, to an obedient disciple, to an evangelist, to a disciple maker, with the goal of going through the entire Bible within 1 to 3 years based on your filter for age appropriateness content. Now, the whole thing is getting dads to lead Bible time. And so it is a shared read at its simplest. It's as if you sat down with the Bible and said, you read all the parts that are the narrator, you read the parts here that's Peter, you read, you know, you do the part that is the woman at the well, and you just go forth and you read that together. And at the end, you ask these simple questions. What did you learn about God? The software does it for you and it tracks it for you. The next time you come in, the software says, okay, Isaiah, you said you're going to forgive like Joseph forgave. How did that go for you this week? And you rank them, you know, their success in that. And that's how they get points and become an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. So it's really, you know, just to demystify it, it could be done even with a husband and wife. And it has been done as they are developing their new family before they even have kids, to them bring kids into the mix of that daily dose of Bible and reading and prayer time together. So, but because it's so dramatic, there's a song, there's an audio drama, there's a song with singer with each scene. You could do it karaoke style or just read those texts, whatever the preference is. There's music, score, sound effects. It's scrolling as a teleprompter with visuals of the Holy Land where the stories took place right behind it. In VR, you can like move it around so you can, the whole family on the flat screen can see that actual location where that story took place. So the Bible is literally coming to life in your living room with all the drama. Even if you were the most boring reader, it comes to life in that way. So it's using the heart language of this generation, which is media, visuals, experiential, participational, discovery-based Bible study. So it's not dad shoving my opinions, my religion down, my faith down my kids' throats, but it's allowing us to discover together. Dad, I'm just the facilitator. The Holy Spirit is the real teacher. And the, in the beauty of that, kids are developing their own rock solid foundation of God's word and their faith in their heart, that they are unmoved in the days of trouble that lies ahead of us. And so that's why it's so, it's not catechism, but it's catechism. It's God. But in the way that Jesus made disciples on the shore of Galilee, he told stories of his father and of the kingdom. And it was the disciples' greatest privilege to just immediately adjust their lives to obey everything that he was saying. And that's what this is through storytelling, role play. And the numbers say that 80%, it's like 81 or 82% of the world are oral learners. This is how we learn best, is through story. Praise God. That's why he gave the gospel as a story, not a math problem.
Well, and I think that you just touched on it. I made a note to mention about that, because the Bible was written to be read aloud. We've privatized our faith to such an extent that we make it so that it happens all inside of our head and our heart in terms of reading scripture, and we forget that that's not like let me think here, before what, the printing press, people didn't have all these copies of Bibles to take and do a devotional or a quiet time or whatever. You had to go somewhere in a corporate setting where the scriptures were read aloud and you could take it in, you know, audibly. And it was the same situation in Jesus' time. Yeah. So it's interesting. What I see here, what you're doing, is matches very well with, I believe, the intention for why scripture was written.
Praise God.
Ben, you mentioned playing more than one part. Like in Mike's situation, you know, he and his wife and son would have to play, you know, each play multiple parts. My three kids are all drama kids. I was in exactly one drama when I was in school. It was Harvey, and I was absolutely terrible and never did another one. But my kids just love being in stage productions. One was a theater minor in college. One's in a play this coming weekend. So they're still doing it as adults. And one of the things that I grew to appreciate watching them in dramatic productions was they really got into their characters. You know, even if it was a minor character, they would okay, why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? You know, what motivates my character? And they would get into it. And they had to get into other characters too. Because, you know, okay, I'm responding to what this character is saying. Why is he saying that? And, you know, and so they would delve into this. Even when they were extras, they would really get into it. And so I can see, you know, playing multiple parts in a Bible story, you have no choice but to get it. Okay, you know, I think about the prodigal son. Okay, why does the older son respond this way? I have to play him now, so I have to delve into, you know, why is he doing this? What motivates him to say this? And why does the dad do this? And why does the younger son do this? And so I think, yeah, it's an opportunity. I mean, you might view it as a detriment to have to play multiple roles, but it's actually an opportunity, because now you have to dig into all these characters that you're playing and why they're doing and saying what they're doing and saying.
Amen. And that's why the Lord has given us these stories. They're not stories. They're actually real accounts, historical accounts, for us to learn from it. Like in Israel, it's like, don't be like Absalom, you know, don't be like the son who betrays his father. And like, that's how we learn, is through these, you know, villainous characters, heroes, and playing these parts and then internalizing it. So with these simple questions, and again, I saw like what the leading methodology globally in the underground church that has spread like wildfire. And it's really this simple method of getting a participational read or storytelling of that text, and then having someone repeat it back to you to make sure that they've heard it correctly. And then you ask these simple questions. If this be true, what did you learn about God? What does he require you to change? What did you learn about the other characters? So we were like, wow, this is a great opportunity to bring that into a character analysis worksheet type of thing that actors always do with their text, as you're speaking about, to really bring that character into yourself. And that's why we're supposed to do it, that God's character would be written on our hearts, that we would have the fruit of the Spirit.
Man. Oh, gosh, Chris, I don't know how you feel, but like, it just feels like 10 minutes went by and it's already an hour of time that we've spent. Man, Ben, this has been unbelievable. Too short, man. I wish we had more time. So as we're wrapping up here, though, how would folks find you online? Help, you know, give us some markers that we can find you, whether it be your website, maybe you're on social media, I don't know. But yeah, how can people connect with you, find you online?
Yeah. So go to actors.bible, and that's where you can log in, create a free account if you love it. It's $10 a month for the entire Bible. For congregations that want to begin to shift their plan of stop segregating the family on Sundays and discouraging the father that he's not good enough to lead, but to actually have a more family integrated expression of worship on a Sunday basis that then equips the workers, the dads, for the work of the ministry on a regular Sunday basis. Congregations can get one of the higher plans, $50, $100 plan. And then on Sundays, they can have this as the public reading of the scriptures that that Paul admonishes us to. And it's incredible. The oldest to the youngest get so much out of it as they enact the scriptures for a Sunday worship or whenever they're worshiping together. In multiple families like that. And then our Facebook is Actors Bible. You can find us on there, Instagram, and the other social media platforms as well. But on Actors Bible, if you're a dad listening to this, please do click on the Director Dad link at the top after you get signed up for a Actors Bible account. And then you can go on that quest of hearing how you've been casted to play this role. You could do the 21-day family meeting challenge. You can try to go through the Bible in 3 years to get that badge, which is a consistency award. You can be a trainer to another dad. You can present, have another family over for a dinner and a show, and you get the evangelist badge. You could be a church planter. We're just gathering families together and doing this in concert with other families and then allow it to be a church plant. And then the one father who does it the best becomes the elder or the multiple fathers. And then lastly, you can sign up to go on our Holy Land adventure where fathers are taking their whole family to the land, enacting scripture together, and the miracles come to life. We have two trips planned for next year. So anyway, all those ways you can connect with us, but we're so glad to have spent this time with you both here today.
Man, thank you, Ben. It's so funny you mentioned the segregation that happens of families on Sundays. We attended a large church living in another area. I won't mention names or anything like that, but they sure. And it was a big church. I mean, we're talking 20,000 attending on a weekend. And they attempted a family service, and they built huge, beautiful, elaborate sets, you know, for the stage. And there were two primary people that that kind of engaged with the crowd, and they might bring people up at certain times, and you're supposed to be—it's a little bit more interactive. But again, it was still more us, them, kind of they, you know. Them leading us through it, where what I feel like you're doing is you're really empowering the men to lead their families in their homes where they are. I love it.
In Judaism, it's more of men would be gathering together, yes, right. With the whole congregation, but they would hash up the word together. They would come with, and they would be groomed by an older man who's like, yes, steering them. But just like Jesus with his disciples, he was equipping them for their work. Each one of them became a father. Paul says, am I the only one that can't take a wife? Like, so we know that they were, they were fathers. And who did Jesus send them out to? He sent them out to find a person of peace, a father. Who would bring them into their house and to share and equip them to lead their own families in the grand scriptures and meet together. And that's how the gospel spread. And so we really have to redefine how we're grooming young fathers in the corporate experience, you know, admonishing them behind closed doors, keeping them accountable, rebuking them where it's needed, but then really in front of others, allowing them to participate in this way to lead their own families that prepares them for the deeper work, which is done in the home on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, I'm ready to go take that hill, Ben. Let's do this, brother. This is beautiful. Come on. This is beautiful.
Come on.
All right. Let's close by praying for you and your ministry and your wife and family. God, thank you. Thank you so much for, such passion. Lord, it is so clear that you have called him, and this is a fire shut up in Ben's bones. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament would talk about, God, I'm grateful, Lord, for how your Holy Spirit is just exploding out of him. And I'm sure if we met Felicita right now, that she would be just as passionate, God. Thank you for this time together. I pray your protection, provision, and sustainment of Ben and Felicita and their family and this ministry, God. I pray, Father, for especially encouragement during times when they are just maybe are tempted to give way to despair and are discouraged by the ways that Satan is absolutely opposed to them, Lord. This world is opposed to them. Oh, God, strengthen them. Strengthen them, Father, for the mission. And so, Lord, we entrust him, we entrust his family to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Ben, thank you for being with us, brother.
It's an honor. Thank you so much for what you guys are contending for doing at Empowered Manhood. So thank you so much.